Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that Christians are changed people. They're born again people. They are transformed people. Now the world has a different idea about what it means to be a Christian and what it means when a person's changed. What they think it means is they think that you become more religious. You're going to go to church more often. You're going to start listening to Christian music. You're going to learn Christian songs. And you're going to start knowing what certain phrases mean, like justification and sanctification and salvation. You begin getting a church vocabulary, and you begin looking the part of a Christian. On Sunday, you dress like a Christian, and you get a Christian haircut. I don't have one of those, by the way. But this is what the world thinks, and maybe if you're really a devoted Christian, you will have a decal on your window, maybe of a verse or a fish. Sometimes this is what the world seems to think when it comes to what they believe a Christian is. I remember one waitress was telling me, she wasn't a churchgoer, she said, I have this couple, they come in every Sunday after church, they're all dressed up, they've been at church, and she said, they're some of the most negative people around. They're always complaining. They're always nitpicking, and they never tip. They never tip. And I give them good service. And it's obvious they've come from church. So she said, should I call their preacher? And I said, well, no, I don't think I'd do that. I said, they're probably giving him a rough time too. And I said, the fact is, just going to church is not enough to make you a Christian. That just being a church member does not say that you're a Christian right away. A Christian changes from the inside out. Not everybody becomes a preacher. But they were one way before they met Jesus, and when they accepted Him, they changed. Now we are in a series of sermons on getting a spiritual tune-up, and we're in the book of Romans. And last week, we talked about the question, where do I stand with God? And the fact is, when a person examines their life and looks at their life, and they measure it with the perfection of God, they realize that they're a sinner. All people have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, all fall short of the glory of God. And people realize that sin is a condition, it's an incurable condition, but God loved us so much that He gave us His Son Jesus as a sacrifice to forgive our sin. Romans 3:25 says we receive this forgiveness by faith. Faith is the response to God. It's like you're given a priceless gift, free of charge, but you still have to open it. And the Apostle Paul expands on what faith means in Romans chapter 4 and 5 as he was teaching Jews who believed they were justified by works and they were saved by grace. And he was emphasizing that Jesus loves everyone and He forgives everyone their sin, whether they're religious or they're not religious, and it doesn't matter how much sin you commit, He forgives you of that sin. So we're left with a question today. If I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and He forgives all my sin no matter what I've done and it's guaranteed, does that just give me a blank check to live however I want? Because the more I sin, the more that I show that I've been forgiven by God. Well, the Apostle Paul was asked this question in Romans chapter 6, and that's where we're going to be today. Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Now these folks in the church, many of them with a Jewish background, were not comfortable with the idea of a free gift. You know, if it's free, aren't people going to take advantage of it? And that's human nature. You know, if you're forgiven, someone says, you're just going to keep on sinning. So someone says, that's why we need more law. Now remember, Jesus freely forgave, but that doesn't mean that sin stopped being sin. God hates sin. That's why Jesus had to come. And when Paul asks, shall we go on sinning? His answer is, by no means. This is, in the original language, very forceful and indignant. So more than just being forgiven by sin, when we became a Christian, something changed in us regarding how we live and how we relate to sin. So whether you're a new Christian today or whether you've been a Christian for many, many years, I think we need to be reminded that when Jesus became our Savior, two changes took place. Okay, so go ahead and flip it to the next one there. Two changes took place when we became a Christian. The first change, sin was buried in a watery grave. So turn with me here to Romans 6, and I want to read verses 2, and I want to look down through verse 4. By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. So when we had faith in Jesus, when we knew we were a sinner, when we believed what the Bible said and we confessed our sins, and we changed direction in our life was going one way, we started walking the other way, we exercised faith. Faith is an action word, and faith led us to be baptized. And Paul tells these Christians, when you accepted Jesus and were baptized, you died to sin. That means God brought about a new situation. When Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of sin for us and for every person. So Paul's reminding them of their baptism. And if you look in these verses, baptism and death are closely tied together. So here's the deal. You cannot continue to sin because a new situation has come about in your life, because you have joined with Jesus at baptism. Paul assumes, interesting enough, everybody he's writing to has been baptized. And that's how it was when the church began. When a person believed and turned from their sin, they were baptized. Everybody had that in common. Verse 4 says, we were buried with him through baptism into death. This is the image of immersion. When we bury somebody, they're placed deep in the ground. Immersion was all that Christians, the early Christians, knew. In fact, sprinkling didn't come about until 600 years after the church, and it was introduced by the Catholic Church in 753 in cases of necessity. So this verse says we were buried with him. I've heard people say that baptism is just a symbol. It doesn't mean anything. But look closely at these words. It doesn't say we were buried like him. It says we were buried with him. Baptism is a spiritual act. It means something. It's not a sentimental act. But something happens to a person when they repent of their sins and they are baptized. And just like Jesus, they die. Just like Jesus died and was buried, so a believer is plunged underwater and their sin is buried. And they become dead to sin. The reason a Christian doesn't keep on sinning is because they, when they become a Christian, at that point they're plunged underwater, their sin, they become dead to sin. It's like, and go ahead, yeah, there we go, you're ahead of me there, Brenda. Go back one there just a second. There we go. I kind of like to look at it this way. It's like baptism is a funeral service for your sin. Salvation brings about a permanent change. The water doesn't change you. Jesus does. So baptism is an act of faith. It's an important step of faith. It's like Paul is telling these Christians, why are you continuing to live sinful lives? Don't you remember accepting Jesus? Don't you remember being baptized? A Christian's sin was buried in a watery grave. That means sin doesn't have any power over a person. Sin doesn't have the effect on a person that it once did. It's not as fun as it once was. And I think that's one of the reasons God chose baptism. So that we would have a visible reminder. We would have a memory of the fact that there was a death to sin in our lives. And we should be living like it. So when Jesus becomes our Savior, some changes take place. Second change, when you're saved, you're raised to a new life. Look at verse 4 of Romans 6. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. It says we were buried with Him into His death. And then there's three words. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. So when a person accepts Jesus and is obedient to Him, they are changed. They come out of the waters of baptism to a new life. I like the King James Version here. It says we walk in a newness of life. The word new is a quality of life that's different from the old way of life. It starts at baptism. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But it's more than just a sign, an empty sign. It's more than just following Jesus' example. It's the story of every person's life. It's an event in which a real spiritual change takes place. A person's sin is permanently buried. It is permanently done away with. The power of sin is broken. So today, I'm asking you this question, have you changed since you met Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about a temporary improvement, like a couple of bad behaviors, like maybe I'm going to start watching my language. That's not the total change. This is an inner change. This is how you think about things, how you make your daily decisions. Look at Romans 6 and verses 5 through 7. For if we have been united with Him in His death like this, we will certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So before we were a Christian, we were a slave to sin. Paul calls it our old self. This is who we were before we met Jesus. We were of the world. We were under sin's control. Now, we might have controlled some behaviors, but sin had mastery over us. It had dominion over us. But when we chose Jesus, that sinful self was crucified, and a new life began, free from sin. So after baptism, there is a permanent change, and some kind of changes are going to stop immediately, and your life will go in a different direction. If you look back to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, listen to how Paul describes it. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. As I preached recently in a sermon, we're in a spiritual battle. And what that means is every single one of us that have been baptized, you've got a target on you. Because the devil is going to go after you very specifically because he knows that you've accepted Jesus. He knows that your sins have been forgiven and he wants to drag you back down. But you're living a new life. And sin doesn't have any control over you. We're changed. As I read these words, I want you to listen. This is from Romans 6. I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. As I read these words, listen to how a Christian deals with sin and their relationship with sin. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're no longer under the law, but under grace. Did you hear that? Count yourselves dead to sin. Don't let sin reign your body. Don't offer yourself to sin. For sin, it says, shall not be your master. You see the change? Sin becomes a choice. We have to remind ourselves that we don't have to give in. Now, today we are celebrating Mother's Day. And we honor our mothers and we honor our wives. We praise the Lord for them and we want to treat them with love. And we want to treat them with kindness and tenderness. But I want you to imagine a scenario, a very true scenario, in which a woman is in an abusive relationship. She's in a situation where her husband controls every aspect of her life, tells her where she can go and what she can do, and he's mean and he's cruel, and he causes psychological damage, and he's constantly telling her she's worthless, and he's physically abusive, and he causes bruises, and he endangers her life, and she's pretty much just a helpless slave, and he's done this to many women, and he's destroyed lives, and the police are called, and the man is taken away, and so the woman is free. All she has to do is move away. Start a new life. But she has to break contact with that man. And she has to file charges against him. And she determines that she's going to start a new life and she wants to stay free, but she has a big choice to make because this man is begging her to come back. Please, take me back. You know I love you. You know I would never harm you. I'm so sorry I did that. Please, we can start over. We can start a new life. You see, she has a new life. But she's being tempted to take her old life back. And that's what happens to Christians. They accept Jesus. They're baptized. They arise out of the waters of baptism to walk in a newness of life. They're dead to sin. But the change doesn't last because they go back to their old master. Paul asks, you died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? Now, the next time we're together, we're going to see more of what happens when we become a Christian and how God has given us someone to help us in this battle. So to those of you who've been baptized, maybe you've been a Christian for a while, I want to ask you, is your life changed from the life that you lived before you were a Christian? There's an ongoing spiritual battle. There's an ongoing struggle. There'll always be areas in our lives that are not measuring up to God's perfection. So when I ask if you've been changed, have you changed since last year? Have you changed since last month? Have you changed since last week? See, the ongoing process of a Christian is growth and change at all times. We're constantly growing. We're constantly maturing in the faith. Someone may say, well, I became a Christian many years ago. I'm still struggling. It seems like I've made very little progress in my struggle with sin. Well, today's a reminder. Don't you remember when you were baptized? You were forgiven. Your life changed. Have you forgotten? So what has changed since you were baptized? God hasn't changed, but your choices have changed. God forgave you. He's given you everything you need in your battle to sin. Sin is no longer your master. So I ask you to go back, and I want you just to remember back to when you made your decision. Remember your baptism. God has given you everything you need. So start today brand new with this awareness. Don't invite that sinful old man back into your life. Kick him out. Now for the second obvious question, should I be immersed? Paul's writing to Christians who were immersed, who were baptized, and he's pointing them to remember this spiritual change, the act that they submitted to. So I can't refuse someone who wants to be baptized unless they don't understand what they're doing. Baptism is a command in Scripture. Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and be baptized every one of you. So every person needs to give great thought to this decision. It comes from a sense of remorse and sorrow over sin. So I would never discourage someone from doing what God has commanded. Each individual must account to God for their own spiritual life. And someone says, well, my aunt wasn't baptized. Well, that's not my place to determine. See, she's going to have deal with her relationship with the Lord. And she's going to stand before the Lord one day. So it's not my place to determine where she is with the Lord. But what I can do is I can tell you what God says. And I can tell you to be obedient to Him. My job is just to preach what God says to do. If I don't do that, then I'm not being faithful to Him. But I can tell you this, that when it comes to dealing with sin and the struggles that you face, baptism is a key. Because at baptism, your sin is buried. You become dead to sin, and it's part of your real transformation. When we accept Jesus, when we're fully obedient to Him, verse 13 says, we are brought from death to life. So if God is leading you to be baptized, don't resist the Lord. Do what He is telling you to do. Romans 6:5 says, we have been united with Him in His death, and we will also be united with Him in His resurrection. The word united means literally fused together. It's a spiritual act. It's not based on your feelings. It's not based on your understanding. It's God's action. We're submitting to baptism. Someone else is baptizing us, and God is working in that act, and something happens when we're baptized. There is a change in status. Now, I want you to think back to when you were first married. Now, I realize with some of you, this is going to be a long time ago. Okay, so you're entering into marriage, and maybe you did not fully understand what you were getting into. That was me. Okay? I didn't fully understand it. So I'm going through the marriage ceremony. Did I realize how much my life was going to change at that moment? No. There's a change in status when you are married. Whether or not you realize it or not, things are going to change. It's that simple act of going through marriage. Hopefully that was a good experience for you. But it's certainly a life-changing one. When I was 9 years old, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I knew that I had sinned, and I knew that I was sinning not just against my mom and dad, but against God. I knew I was sinning against Him. I knew that I wanted to go to heaven, and I didn't want to go to hell. I knew that I wanted to serve Him. Did I understand all the theological implications of baptism? Somebody explained to me what baptism was. I didn't understand everything the Bible said about what was going to happen after I was going to be baptized, but I can tell you one thing I didn't know at 9 years old. I was obedient to the Lord in baptism, and from that point on, my life permanently changed. There was a permanent change that took place, and from that point on, the Lord was with me in every decision I made. Everything I did, right or wrong, good or bad, the Lord was there, and He was weighing in, and He was telling me, you shouldn't do this, or you should do this. And He was directing my life. So when it came to choosing a profession, I, because of this decision I made so many years before, I followed the Lord and decided I would become a minister. And the Lord has been with me, but it all goes back to when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And I was baptized. And so I want everybody to experience that kind of change in their life. So have you changed? Have you experienced that change? Have you made Jesus your Savior? If you do, you're going to find an amazing change in your life. It's not always going to be easy. It's going to be tough sometimes. But it's a decision you make. And if you do it, you'll never regret it. Because Jesus will bless you. And He'll be with you during those difficult times. So we have our song of invitation today. I have decided. It's a decision we make. So if you have a decision, we invite you to make that. Let's all stand as we sing.